that seemed to call for some response. So this morning, I want to talk about that for a little bit. And I'm going to go to some scriptures, have a couple different scriptures that I'll mention here in a minute here, and you may have some more as well. But this is from an article that was on WorldNet Daily, but it was about the Virginia Governor, Ralph Northam, Governor of Virginia. And this was from December 11th. And I'll just read a portion of this, but Democratic Virginia Governor Ralph Northam told Virginians Thursday that they don't need to be in church for God to hear their prayers. The governor announced a new executive order Thursday expanding mask mandates, setting a curfew between midnight and 5 a.m., and lowering the number of people at social gatherings to 10 or less people, the Washington Post reported. The measures go into effect 12:01 a.m. Monday. Though these restrictions do not affect houses of worship, Northam urged those who wish to continue worshiping in person to stay home and practice recommended safety measures due to a rise in coronavirus cases. And then he said this. This is what I want us to kind of think about, his comments. He said this. This is Democratic Governor, Virginia. "This year we need to think about what is truly the most important thing," the governor said. "Is it the worship or the building? For me, God is wherever you are," he continued. "You don't have to sit in the church pew for God to hear your prayers. Worship with a mask on is still worship. Worship outside or worship online is still worship," Northam added. So let me just read that again. This is what he said, all right? The governor, this is just his opinion, his comments about churches, houses of worship. "What we need to think about," he says, "what is truly the most important thing, is it the worship or the building? For me, God is wherever you are. You don't have to sit in the church pew for God to hear your prayers. Worship with a mask on is still worship. Worship outside or worship online is still worship." So that's what I want us to think about. How would you respond to those comments? And I'll give you a little bit of some points here that I came up with. Maybe you have some more as you would think about that. But the article goes on to just talk about some other legal issues that are going on in Virginia. Where churches have been affected. This is earlier on this year. And I won't read that. But mainly what the governor said is what I want us to think about. And so, you know, he's suggesting just stay home. You can still worship at home, and it's still worship, and God is wherever you are. And that's what he's saying. So the questions that I think of here are, what do we miss when we cannot assemble together? What do we miss? Is worship all there is to church? Is worship all there is to church? Do we miss out on anything else? And what about the online church services? What's the right perspective to have on that? And maybe you're already ready with what you would say in response. Well, let me just prime the pump a little bit too. You know, I think one thing we would say is there's a sense in which what the governor of Virginia there said is true. You know, worship can take place anywhere you are. When we assemble for worship, that really is it should be an outflow of our worship all the time, of private worship. And, you know, when we assemble together, that doesn't automatically mean that our worship is pleasing to God just because we've assembled together. You know, the Lord in the Old Testament had some really strong things to say about the worship that was going on in Israel. And there were lots of events and rituals that were taking place. And God said, "I don't like it." Amos chapter 5, verse 21 says, "I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. And many other passages like that, where lots of activity was happening, and the Lord said, I don't like it. It's not pleasing to me. There were other issues there. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks to the church at Corinth there, and 1 Corinthians 11:17, he says, Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And, you know, there was a case where the church, Corinth, was assembling, and yet Paul has to rebuke them, says, you're coming together for the worse. And, you know, so just because we assemble together, that doesn't mean that God is pleased with our worship. So you can think about that. But another thing I would say is, you know, in the Bible, we do see a form of distance communication. Did they have live streaming in the Bible? Well, no, they didn't. But, you know, what if Paul would have had it? Do you think he would have used it? Perhaps he would have. You know, we do see Paul doing something else. And what does Paul do many times? Well, he writes letters to people that he cannot see. And we have some of his letters. And in the book of Romans, for example, he expressed his longing and his desire to go and to see those people face to face. His prayer, Romans 1:10, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. So Paul was not always able to go and see the people that he wanted to see. He wanted to see the Romans, for example. And so the Lord prevented him from doing that. So he did, it seems, what is the next best thing? He wrote to them. He wrote them a letter. And at the same time, he expressed his desire. I really want to come and see you. I'm not able to, but I really, really want to come and see you. So we do see that form of communication used in the Bible, basic form, letter writing. But here's another thing, and I would ask you to turn here to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and of course we have this famous passage here in verse 24, which says, And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. This passage is a passage that is an exhortation here, and if you look at the context, it is one of several exhortations that the author of Hebrews gives in light of the finished work of Christ. And he has explained that here in this passage. And then you notice these exhortations, verse 22, let us draw near with a full heart, with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And then verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And then this third exhortation, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And so there's an important point there. These are exhortations that flow out of the finished work of Christ. You know, if you see that in the passage here in chapter 10, we see this new and living way that Christ has opened for us, access to God. And so in light of that, here's what we ought to do. And that's an important point, because this exhortation is not at all the way that we earn our salvation. It flows out of our salvation through Christ. But this third exhortation here is to consider one another. Verse 24, let us consider one another. That idea is to give thought to be concerned about one another. And we have that main idea spelled out here in two ways. Two ways we are to do this. One is positive and one is negative. And verse 25 is the negative here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So we're to consider one another, think about each other, consider them, think about their needs, think about their ages and their likes and dislikes, and consider one another. And one thing that will help us to do that is by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That word forsake is the word that means to abandon, to leave behind, to cease from an activity which has gone on for some time. And so, you know, we certainly hope that that will not happen. You know, they keep telling us this is for a time where many are not able to assemble together, and have they abandoned the assembling together of the saints? Well, hopefully not all of them have. Maybe, hopefully, this is a temporary thing. But it's forsake, not forsaking, not abandoning the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Evidently, become a habit for some that the writer of Hebrews knew about. And so he's saying, let us consider one another by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. And then the positive way that we do this is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So we are to exhort one another. What does that mean? Well, it's a broad concept in the Bible, this idea of exhortation. It can be warning. It can be encouraging. Very many different ways that we can do that. It can be comforting. If we look at the 13th chapter of Hebrews, we find this same word used of the entire letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews 13, 22 says, "And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words." He calls his whole letter an exhortation. And so, you know, exhortation is connected to Scripture, certainly. This whole epistle was an exhortation. And so, so what do we miss? What do we miss when we are not able to assemble? We miss this. We miss the opportunity that each of us has to minister to one another. We consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works. And this is all through the New Testament. Gathering together helps each of us to do that better. Not just those on the platform running the service. Romans chapter 12 speaks of the gifts in the body. Romans 12, 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, every one members of one another. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." I don't know that Governor Northam really knows anything about that, but there's other issues there as well. The fact that, you know, the government, Caesar, is kind of stepping in and giving their opinion on what the church should do or not do, but that's another issue, really. I guess the danger is, oftentimes, even before coronavirus, is just that we kind of forget the ministry that each one of us has. You know, it's easy just to come and to watch from the pew, or even to watch online and watch the service and kind of give it a rating you know, 3.5, whatever, after the after it's done. But really, that's missing the point of what the what we have in the church. Yes, we do worship. We worship all the time. We also worship at church. That's part of it. But there's actually more. And you know, worship isn't the only thing. Of course, worship is everything we do, but in everywhere we do all to the glory of God. But you know, we sometimes forget about that ministry that we have to one another, and when we can't assemble, that really is harder to do. It's harder to minister in that way. So, all right. Anybody have any other questions or comments? How would you respond to that? All right, Becky, you have ladies go first.
I had a question. Did the governor suggest any other places to be shut down and not assemble, or like what about like concerts or anything, or is it just churches?
Yeah, I'm not sure in Virginia. Maybe somebody else would know, but yeah, that's been the trouble, where there's been this inconsistency. But some people are allowed to, some are not. But I think he was just giving his own opinion, saying, you know, you don't really need to go to church. It's still worship if you're at home, you know. And I've heard our governor say similar things. You know, he doesn't think you really need to be out.
But you would think, like, bars, strip clubs, places like that, you're going to have more than 10 people, and that's not really necessary either. It is interesting that they single out
churches. Yeah, there's inconsistency there. So, yes, Norm.
You know, it's uplifting for me to come and to maybe have a chance to visit with somebody a little bit that I haven't seen all week. See a smile on somebody's face when they see you. It's uplifting to me.
Yeah, just to see other people there. So, it's like I've said before, it encourages me at least just to see you here. So. That's one ministry you can have, and I know it's the same for other people as well. So, yes.
Many times, I'll be honest, I would be willing to stay home. I'm tired. I've had a rough week, maybe, but often, and I would say 9 times out of 10, I'm really blessed by the message. I've heard something I've really needed, or like Norm said, to see other people, and also it makes us aware of each other's struggles and needs. And that way we're encouraged in the faith
by
one another and challenged.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Wright.
Well, as far as me personally, like Becky said, sometimes you might not feel the best when you come to church. I mean, you really come to church, singing the songs, and listen to the sermons, it lifts you up. If you've had a bad week, that's what coming to church is going to do for you. It's going to make you forget the past week. And just, you know, it's just an uplifting experience for you. And that's what it's supposed to do. Now, granted, across some churches, it's, I don't do it. And I stay in home or listen to it. Online, I don't think it's going to, for me, wouldn't have the same uplifting experiences of what you can do inside the church. So.
All right, anybody else? Do you think, in response to what has been said by the governor there in Virginia or other people, yes?
I'm just thinking that, you know, before the virus here and such, but just going door to door and visiting people, it was surprising the number of people that would say, well, I've had this problem with the church, I've had this problem, we're just here at home, and you know, we worship here at home, and it's there's just been a spirit among a lot of just to forget the church, and I, you know, that becomes it becomes more that it's all about me. And like you said there, it's a, you know, we forget that admonishing one another. I was thinking of the passage there in Colossians 3:16 that said, you know, admonishing one another with songs and hymns and spiritual hymns. But the other part of that, I was thinking too, it eliminates the whole structure of the church, the place of the pastor, of the elders, of the church discipline, you know, the whole structure that God has given to us for our protections. And when we're just there ourselves, you know, we miss a lot of that. And we appreciate those that are not able to get out. We appreciate our shut-ins. We appreciate them that they're, and it's a blessing that they're able to. I was talking to the Evans, and they said, you know, it's been nice having the messages, but it's just one step closer to be able to see you. You know, how they appreciate being able to see Pastor Howard when he's speaking, but there's a whole other dynamic that, you know, they said they'd love to be back in the assembly.
It's, you know, there's certainly some that are in that category where, you know, there's some in that at-risk category. As I've said before, I think you look at people who can't come out, there's various categories here. You know, you got some people that are at risk, that are trying to be careful. And you've got other people that are afraid right now. They may not be at risk, but they are afraid, so they're not coming out. And you've got other people, maybe it comes to churches, who disagree with the way things are being done, whether the church is not doing enough to protect from coronavirus or they're doing too much. They don't want to go along with that. And so they disagree, so they're not coming. And then you probably got another category of people who perhaps are straying. You know, coronavirus has become an excuse for them not to go to church, and they're doing everything else, going to Walmart, going to amusement parks and all this, but church, you know, too dangerous. So you probably have some of that, and so there's different reasons, but you know, it just helps us to kind of reevaluate what is it that we're doing. Is it just that we're putting on a worship show? No, there's more to it than that. There's really, you do miss out on the opportunity you have to minister and to be ministered to really in person there. And so good for us to think about that anyway. Any other comments? Yes, Mrs. Gosford.
Just the whole concept of what is worship, and it really is what does God, you know, it is that which we are doing before God to show our adoration and praise before Him. He delighted in His people. The Lord wanted them to come with the right hearts. He set a pattern in the Old Testament for the people gathering together. In the New Testament, all the epistles are written to the organized church that Marty mentioned, and that that we have a place where we come together in reverence and awe, and to just sit and allow God to speak to us.
Yeah, we do worship at church. That's true, and that's important as well. You know, think of the Psalms where it talks about the worshiping with the congregation coming before that. And you miss that too, I think, if you're not able to come. You miss out on congregational worship and coming to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you're not getting that congregational aspect of worship as well. All right. Well, gives us some things to think about, to kind of reevaluate what we're doing. And so let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to gather here today. We pray that we would do it with right hearts and right attitude of what we ought to do. And think of those who can't be here. We pray that this would be a temporary thing. We ask that there would be some changes in the future that would allow us to gather again, and we pray for that. And we pray that you'd help us all to have the right attitude towards worship here and towards our church and what we ought to do when we come here. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want to share some praises and prayer requests here. And start off here with a few. Shirley has asked us to pray for her brother, Ira Hay, or Mac, I think he goes by. And he tested positive for COVID there in, is it Tennessee where he lives? Okay. So he's down there. She asked us to pray for him.
He actually was taken to the hospital last night, but we haven't had an update.
Okay, so he is hospitalized as of last night. Okay.
He's on a bypass. He's had a couple of rounds of steroids, but he might not have made it through the night. His daughter, who is a nurse, felt if he hadn't been taken to the hospital.
So he's in, sounds like, serious condition then with his breathing. So that's a prayer request there for Ira Hay in the hospital as well with COVID. All right. Pray for my daughter, Pearl. She is sick today, sore throat and runny nose. So Jenny's at home with her and hoping to be able to watch on the live stream. You know, so hopefully that'll work out. But praise as well for that. Last Sunday was kind of our first Sunday doing that, and I think they said we had 7 or 8 people that were live with us there in both services, and so I guess we need to add that to our attendance, you know, to really bump up the numbers. No, I'm just kidding, but it is nice to know that there were some people that were there live, and I've heard from others that were able to be there live, or also watch it later on. You don't have to watch it live, but it is there. Praise for safety. We had a nice Christmas snow here, but did make the roads kind of hazardous. We had a good time. We drove up actually on Christmas Day to visit my parents up in Lake County, and it was kind of risky to do that, but once we hit Lake County, it got even worse, and they had a lot of snow up there. But we figured, you know, as long as we could make it in and out of Lake County, we'd be all right. And mostly that was true. But it did take us about an hour longer coming back home Christmas night. So 3 hours instead of the usual 2 that it takes us. But just praise for safety. Saw a lot of cars in the ditch and on the side of the road. Any other requests you want to mention this morning? Praises or prayer requests? Yes, Norm.
I did talk to Mrs. Olsen, and she seems to be doing well. She's taking radiation now instead of chemo. So she's doing well, feeling well, taking me out, walk around.
Okay. Mrs. Orsina, pray for her. She's Frieda's neighbor as well. So she's doing better. Able to get up and walk around. Okay, anyone else? Okay, Heather.
Our neighbor's daughter is in ICU in Moscow. She has COVID and stage 4 viral pneumonia, and she's 32 weeks pregnant. And we got an update this morning that even with oxygen on, they're not able to get oxygen levels up. And if they're not able to get the oxygen levels up, and if the fever returns, they will do a C-section.
So this is your neighbor's daughter in Moscow, as in Russia? Okay. So she is 32 weeks pregnant, also with COVID and trouble with getting oxygen levels up. They're going to take the baby if they can't get the levels up, so with the C-section there. So pray for her. What's her name?
Catherine Gromlich. I don't know her Russian name.
Catherine Gromlich with a Russian name at the end. Okay. Yes, Becky.
Many of the Glen now has the whole 200-hall unit COVID positive.
Okay. So Bennington Glen, the whole 200-hall is COVID positive. So lots of COVID there, Bennington, so pray for the residents and the staff. Right? Yes, Barb.
Bernie's mom was tested positive for COVID, and they moved her from the nursing home she's in to a different nursing home. Currently she's not showing any symptoms, so we're thankful for that.
Okay, Randy's mom did test positive. They moved her, but not showing any symptoms. So praise for that. What's her name?
Jean.
Jean. Okay. It's Jean. All right. And Sue?
First of all, I talked to Frida, and she's having a lot of trouble with her asthma. That's why she hasn't been here. She planned on coming last Sunday, but she said the time she got a shower, got dressed, she couldn't get a breath, so she didn't come. And then right before Christmas, my cousin Judy Pratt in Pennsylvania, she passed away. She's 70 years old. She had a heart attack and seizure and died. So for her family.
Okay, Sue's cousin Judy Pratt passed away before Christmas. She had a heart attack. And also for Frida, she's been having trouble with her asthma, so she's not been able to come out. And also, I heard that her knee replacement surgery got canceled because of she would not be able to do it outpatient. She has got to wait longer, probably till they get a handle on COVID. So pray for her. Yes, Becky.
I forgot to mention Ron's dad fell this week, and Ron doesn't feel like he's getting the whole story, but sounds like he has a concussion and struggling.
Okay, Ron's dad fell this week and may have a concussion. So pray for him. That's Ed Margraf. So pray for Ron's dad. All right, anybody else? Sue.
Norm's aunt in North Carolina, Juanita Pruitt, she's in a rest home. She fell and broke her shoulder.
Okay, Norm's aunt, Juanita Pruitt. She's in North Carolina. She fell, broke her shoulder here recently. All right. Anything else? All right. We had a food collection, and we were able to give the food out to a family. It actually went to Courtney and Zach and Serenity. They said they were able to use it, so that's who it went to, and so just a report, praise on that. Pray for them, too. They're still in need of housing, and so pray they'd be able to find something. All right, anybody else? Okay, well, let's go ahead, and we'll divide up here, and have the ladies over here.